Today and next Sunday, I want us to look at the book of Jude. It's only a small little book, but it has much to say in the age in which we live today. The Israelites, they had a watchman on the walls. And when he saw the enemy approaching, when he saw that there was trouble ahead from a distance, he would sound an alarm. And today I want us to look at the book of Jude because I believe it is relevant for today, the age in which we live. Because as your pastor, I want to sound an alarm in the age in which we are living. We need to wake up, church. We need to wake up. And whilst we will look at the book of Jude, we do know that with our God can do all things. And our God can turn this nation around that it becomes Great Britain once again. That this nation will no longer have missionaries come, but we will be sending missionaries around the world. There will be godliness and righteousness upheld again in our nation. Nations will look to us and see us as Christian. Our government will call days of fasting and prayer the way they used to. They will do God. Because God is Lord of all, amen. And He holds all things in His hands. And so, let's turn to the book of Jude. We're going to read the first four verses. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and kept or preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Amen. And today we pray that, oh God, that His mercy and His peace and His love be multiplied to you today. Amen. Because God is the same God today as He was then. And we pray that you will receive grace and mercy and peace. Oh, not only be added, but it will be multiplied. Whatever you are facing today, you will know the God of yours as your strength, the God who is your refuge. And Jude goes on to say, Beloved, whilst I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once delivered for all or to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We will end there. When we look at world events and the persecution of our beliefs, there is tremendous pressure upon the church to compromise in the name of love and to embrace the pluralism of society that all beliefs are equal and therefore all religions lead to heaven. Some of you, maybe in this very congregation this morning, have been persecuted because of your faith. I do know that you can no longer pray for people in hospital if you are a nurse. Even though the patient desires that you pray for them, your job could be at risk. Isn't that sad? In a so-called Christian nation, we can no longer pray for people who are ill or people who are facing death. We see in 2 Timothy that Paul warned this young man that there will become days when evil men and imposters, it will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And Paul said to this young man 2,000 years ago, He said, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and being assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You see, young Timothy was brought up with his mother and his grandmother, and they imparted into young Timothy faith. Can I just say, parents, it is your responsibility to influence your child, amen, with godliness and with the Word of God. Thank God for our program here on Sundays when we can instill and preach and teach the children, but ultimately, parents, it is your responsibility to live that life and to impart into your child faith and godliness. And young Timothy had the privilege of his mother and grandmother teaching him the Holy Scriptures. And Paul said to this young man, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Able to make you wise for salvation. Let me say at the very outset of my preach today, all roads don't lead to heaven. There is only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say that I am a way. He is the only way. If that makes us bigots, then that's what they can call us, because we must believe the truth of God's word and not compromise on that. Let me just say, secondly, that Jesus Christ is not just a prophet. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible, which we love and cherish, it is not one of many holy books. It is the only holy book. There is only one revelation given to us, and that is from this word, cover to cover. Not many, but one. You will hear it said today, live a life to the full. Enjoy life. Doesn't matter how you live, as long as you're not harming anyone. As long as you love one another, do what you want. But can I just say from the very outset that if you take the name of Christ and you are a Christian, a Christ one, you are accountable and you are responsible for not only how you behave, but how you think. And so Paul, writing to young Timothy, said there will come a day when imposters will come and there will be great deception. In chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, he goes on to say that there will come a day when men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And not only has society embraced the God of pluralism, but we have exalted the God of hedonism, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The book of Jude sounds an alarm. Take heed. Listen. For the enemy has come to destroy the faith, and therefore we need to stand up and fight. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 to 5, again, Paul reminds this young man that he will be charged before God and the Lord Jesus God who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he says to young Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. And he goes on to say that there will come a time when they will run after men, false teachers, where people will have itching ears, wanting just to hear the nice things, itching ears that turn away from the truth. Turning away from the truth. But Timothy is reminded that he must do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling his ministry. And today, as your senior pastor, when we look at the Word of God, I want to sound an alarm that we don't compromise, that we uphold the values and the truth of God's Word, because there is an erosion in church circles today regarding our fundamental truths as evangelicals. Yes. I love this word, amen. I love the Lord. We can't compromise. In the name of love, trying to connect with society that has turned its back on God, the only way society will come to the light is through the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit will convict them of sin and of righteousness. You might be familiar with a movement in our day known as the Emerging Church. This is a name of a worldwide group that is seeking to reform the church, revamp the way that Christians interact with their culture, and to remodel the way that we think about truth itself. It is a very postmodern way of thinking, but truth is under attack in the name of love. We can embrace homosexuality because, well, they're not harming anyone. And yet when we come to the Word of God sets us standards, not only regarding homosexuality, but as heterosexuals, how we ought to live. Amen? You see, truth has become hazy and uncertain. They say that the gospel is still to be developed. They abound with statements, well, there is no hell because all will be ultimately reconciled to God. And I just say that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And this is complete, amen. This is complete. We either believe it or we don't. There is no element of uncertainty as to what God has revealed to us. But this kind of thinking is very popular, where there are no absolutes. Truth is how you see it. All is relevant. As one leader said, this group is advocating ambiguity. They're exalting uncertainty, or otherwise deliberately clouding truth in a sinful way of hurting unbelief. We should know the truth. Amen. We should fight for the truth. We should love the truth. And Jude's small letter is for Christians to stand up and fight for the faith. And so today and next week, as we look at this letter, I'm sounding an alarm. We need to watch. We cannot afford to dance to the tune that society sets for us. We need to change the culture around us, not by compromising our values in the name of love, but being light and salt in a perverse society. We knowing the presence of Christ in our lives. Amen. And Jude, he talks about danger from within. He said in verse 3 and 4, he said, for certain men have crept in unnoticed. The New Living Translation says, for I say this because godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live lives immortal. But first of all, let's look at Jude's greetings. He said, "We who are called," amen, "called, loved, and preserved, kept. I'm glad the God who saves me is a God who loves me and a God who keeps me." And Jude, as he starts his writings, he wanted to write about this so great salvation. He wanted to write about something different. He wanted a long letter, not just one page with just one chapter. He was wanting to write about this so great salvation, the salvation that you and I know in Christ, amen. He wanted to write about the righteousness of Christ being imparted into our lives. He wanted to write about God's forgiveness, how we're pardoned before Almighty God, how Jesus came and forgave us of our sin, amen, how Jesus rose again. Jude wanted to write about salvation. But somehow something happened. He changed the purpose of his writing. He said, "I found it necessary to write to you." I found it necessary to write to you. You see, it had been 40 years since the death of Christ and the start of the church, and heresy was creeping into the church. And he said, "I found it necessary to write to you that you contend earnestly for the faith." You contend earnestly for the faith. The word "contend" literally means to fight, to stand up. Amen. Are you willing to fight for that which you believe in? Come on. I know some of you are willing to fight, and you're willing to put your jobs on the line because you want to do what God wants you to do. Amen. Fight. Don't be silent. And there are three areas the enemy will attack. He will attack the Word of God. He will attack the grace of God. And he will attack the sonship of Jesus Christ. Jude says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed and who have been marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith." When Jude uses the term "the faith," it's not faith in action, but the faith, the truth as revealed in the Word of God. Jude is not referring to subjective belief. He is not referring to faith in action for us Christians. He is referring to the faith that is referred to as the objective body of truth, the Word, the truth of the gospel as we know it. I want you to understand this gospel is complete, amen. This truth is complete. It's not something we're trying to work out and to come up with in a relevant way to us and society. The Word is complete. It's important that you know the truth. In 2 John, we read, "Anyone who wanders away from this teaching," listen, he makes it very, very clear. "Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son." And John says, if anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home. Whew, that's strong, isn't it? You know, here at All Nations, we guard the pulpit, amen? Don't we? Well, most times we do. Well, always we do. I think in the occasion of being here 28 years, there was only one preacher I invited, and I couldn't wait until he got back down. And I thought, my goodness me. And whilst I didn't embarrass him on the day, I had to come the following Sunday and apologize to you, because what he did teach was totally off the wall. We need to guard the truth. Why contend? Why fight? Because we live in an age that is confused about truth. Because only truth will set you free. The devil hates the word. That's why he came to Eve in the Garden of Eden as a sly creature and whispered into Eve's ear, has God said? Has God said? A little doubt. You know, as a Christian, and particularly as a Christian minister, the only thing that has kept me going is not only the power of the Spirit enabling me to live the way God wants me to live, but it's knowing this. When God has spoken clearly to me, when others around me have maybe said different things, or the devil has whispered in my ear that, oh, you're over, you're lost. And God said, no, you're not, I love you. Amen. It's his word, and the devil will whisper, has God said? And right now, maybe in your Christian experience, you're thinking, am I forgiven? Am I loved? And God would whisper, or he would shout, you are loved, you are kept, you are called, you are preserved. Amen. Grace, peace be multiplied to you. Amen. And the whisper whispers, the devil whispers, you're no good. The devil whispers that you're a failure. Because of your past, you're going nowhere. I would rather listen to the Word of God, wouldn't you? Amen? You see, it is the Word that sets you free. It is the Word that sets you free. We need to strengthen our grip on God's Word, holding the truth of the Word in the face of relativism, where they say there are no absolutes. There is no absolute truth, therefore. Truth is how you see it and what you make it. If it feels good, it's okay. Boy, how many times have I heard that statement, even amongst Christians? No, I do not base my life according to my emotions of how I feel. I must base my life according to what God has said. Amen. Grace, peace, be multiplied. I must hold on to what God says. Not how I feel. Yeah, I might feel going down a different road. Oh, that feels good to me. That would really make me happy. That would complete me. That will fulfill me. And the devil will whisper, yeah, go for it. Because you can do it. God won't mind because it feels okay. No, if it is against the word of God, it's not in God's will. Do you hear me? Amen. And so there is a fight going on. A fight going on. Why is there an attack on the authority of God's word? Because the devil knows it is only truth that will set you free. It is only truth that will complete you. Amen. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You hear what he said? And then he goes on to say that we all know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But we forget the first part of what Jesus said. If you abide in my word. There needs to be continuity in our lives, amen, every day. There's no use, you know, being uncertain one day and hoping the next day. I must live in the continuity of God's revelation to me. The Bible says my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. We need to know how to stand and fight using the Word of God as the sword of faith, not allowing our emotions, not allowing our culture to decide how we should live. It was John Piper who said, and I love this quotation, he said, "We are people of the book." I love John Piper. I recommend his website. You know, a great American preacher, teacher, writer, and yet he gives all his money, pours it all into his charity, do quite a lot around the world. But some websites, you have to pay for this and that. All his stuff is absolutely free. And let me tell you, as your pastor, you will not go wrong in downloading any of John Piper's stuff. Amen? If you come up with something that's not so good, you come and tell me. Because I tell you, he's a great guy. He's retired now, but still he's not retired in the kingdom of God. Can I just say that to encourage you older ones? You don't retire, amen? You only retire when God puts you in the ground, amen? Remember, your day is not over. Keep fighting. Keep going strong in the Lord, amen? But John Piper said, we are people of the book. We know God through the book. We meet Christ in the book. We see the cross in the book. We have tasted the divine majesty of the Word, and we are persuaded that the book is God-inspired, infallible, written revelation. What the Bible teaches, it matters, amen? It matters. Come on, church. It matters. This is your code of living. There is not many holy books. There is only one revelation given amongst men whereby we can be saved. Amen. And yet in our society, we would be classed as intolerant. We would be classed as bigoted. Well, all religions are good, therefore they're all okay. They all lead to heaven. Let me make it absolutely clear, in case you did not get the message. There is only one name given amongst heaven whereby we can know salvation. It is not Confucius. It is not Muhammad. It is not Buddha. It is the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King of Kings, our coming King. Amen. That is the only name given amongst heaven whereby we can know a relationship with God, where we can know sins forgiven. Amen. And let them call you a bigot. Let them call you whatever they want to call you. But you are a Christ one. Amen. Anointed of God's Spirit, because God says you are called, you are loved, you are preserved. That's what God says. Amen. Don't try and connect with the culture around you, hoping that you may win them for the Lord by compromising the message of the gospel. Of course, I will connect in friendship evangelism. I will find ways to talk to people. I will not be offensive just in the name of offense. Do you hear what I'm saying? But ultimately, I will come to the truth of the gospel that Jesus is Lord, amen. And there is coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So there is an attack upon the Word of God. There is also an attack on the grace of God. These certain men crept in unnoticed. Jude says, who long ago marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into a license, into a license to keep on habitually sinning. Do what you want, just enjoy life. The body is evil, God has forgiven you because grace has abounded. If sin abounds, don't worry about it. Grace is going to abound much more, amen. I embrace grace. I embrace the grace of God because I'm not legalistic where I have to do this and do that and do the other, hoping that I may make my way to God. But this, what I have understood about God's grace, God has given me a gift of eternal life in and through the grace of Jesus Christ. And the grace has not only saved me, the grace of God empowers my life to live a life that will glorify God. But these men have crept in, and they've crept in unnoticed. They've crept in saying, well, you can live whatever way you want. Don't worry about it. God's grace will look after you. No doubt these men had embraced Gnosticism, the belief that since the grace of God was wide enough to cover any sin, a man could sin as he liked. In fact, the more he sinned, the greater the grace. Therefore, don't worry about a lifestyle of sin because God will forgive you. And so the grace of God is a license to commit sin habitually. What do you think about that? Amen. Come and preach for me. I like good response from the congregation. Sometimes you get the occasional amen. Sometimes you'll have the hallelujah. But I've never had rubbish. But the word rubbish there was a good rubbish, amen? Because it's right. Because what has crept into the church today is this radical grace. You listen to some preachers today, and even, and I'm knocking the God channel, but be very wise who you listen to and what you take in. Even some, there is the whole radical grace. Well, it doesn't really matter because God's grace will forgive. Yes, I know God's grace will forgive. But listen to me. That does not give me a license to carry on sinning any old way I want. In fact, if you're carrying on sinning, disobeying God, living a lifestyle habitually disobeying God, can I say to you very, very clearly as your pastor, you have misunderstood grace and you're lost. You might think that you're a Christian. You might think that all is well with God, but it's not. And the reason why I say that, because if that is the road you go down thinking that you can live any old way you want because God's grace will cover it, I am accountable how I teach you. And you can never stand before God and say, well, that pastor there at All Nations, he taught me that I could do whatever I wanted. And when I read the Word of God, the Word said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, but that's how I lived. No. Your pastor, and listen well, is teaching you very, very well and very clear. Amen. Because when you get to Romans chapter 5, Paul is explaining how we are in Christ. Amen. We once were in Adam. In Adam, there was death. In Christ, there is life. Amen. In Adam, there was condemnation. Amen. In Christ, there is righteousness. Amen. In Adam, there is sin. But in Christ, there is grace. And so Paul goes on to say, listen, don't stop in chapter 5. He's just explaining the glory of this grace. And Paul goes on in chapter 6, what shall we then say? What shall we then do? Shall we continue in sin? Shall I do whatever I want? Shall I behave whatever way I want because God's grace and God's love to me is so great? No. Certainly not, said Paul. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Amen. In fact, when God embraces grace, gives grace into our lives, he empowers us to live. Amen. Now, I don't want to say much more there. And maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor, I do sin occasionally. Let me let you into a little secret. I do too. Did you know that I'm not perfect?
No.
Harold, you can have a high five. That's the kind of response you want, amen? Because he's right. He's right. Listen to me and listen to me well. None of us will reach perfection until we see Jesus. If you think that you're perfect right now and all is well, that is mistaken theology. The Bible makes it quite clear. Full glory will only come when we see Jesus face to face. Amen. Amen. And amen. And whilst I live in the environment of the sin in this fallen world, there is the potential for me to think, did you know that even my thought, even this morning sitting here, I thought, God, just I rebuke that, cleanse my mind. Even my thought can be a sin. Amen. Maybe an angry word can be a sin. Boy, we're lost. However, what the Bible makes quite clear is I don't willfully, habitually live in sin. That's what Paul is saying. How can we? Because we're dead. Sin is no longer part of our nature. Whilst occasionally there may be times when we will slip up, and if we do slip up, I have a man in glory, amen? The Bible makes it quite clear. His name is Jesus, and he is our mediator. And John says, I write to you, little children, that you sin not. Sin is no longer your lifestyle, but if any man should sin, we have a mediator, amen? We have someone who will intercede for us. Do you see the difference? It's all in my thinking and my attitude in terms of my accountability and being responsible. But these men had crept into the church and they were saying, well, great, you're forgiven and grace, grace. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter how you live. It does matter how you live, because by their fruits you shall know them. And if you think that an evil tree can bear good fruit, and if you think that living a life that is unpleasing to God habitually is a mark of maturity, you are mistaken. And I put a question mark under your understanding of God. This is what I say to you as your pastor, and I say, well, as a bishop said at the very beginning, or he said probably almost 2,000 years ago, one of the early bishops, he said, love God and do what you want. Some of you think, oh. What did he mean by that? This is what he meant. You see, when you love God and when you delight in God, you will do what God wants. Amen. So love God and do what you want. Because when you love God, everything else will fall into place. Amen. Praise God. Are you glad you've come today? Amen. Some of you are. Amen. Okay. Here's what Paul said to Titus. I must try and come to a conclusion. Could be an Irish conclusion, but I'll get there. Is what Paul said to young Timothy. Titus said, for the grace of God, that brings salvation, this salvation that you and I have embraced, this salvation, I'm glad I'm a Christian, amen? I'm glad that I know Jesus. As I get older, I think, life is getting shorter, but it doesn't really matter, because if I go to glory, life starts all over again, amen? I cannot understand people who are just wanting to live for possessions, and they want to build bigger homes, they want to have better cars and bigger bank balances. I thought, hold on a wee minute, you're taking nothing with you. Nothing is going with you. Hey, nothing is going with you. Only what I do for Jesus will last. This salvation that you and I have come to know, being passed from death unto life, this salvation, this grace of God that brings salvation, it's appeared to all men, said Titus, teaching us. What does the grace of God teach us? It teaches us denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. First of all, it teaches us to leave the things of the past. Secondly, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Secondly, it teaches us not only to leave the things of the past, but to live in the present, in the power, in the anointing of God's grace, amen. And the third thing that it teaches us, that we should look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, Jesus Christ. He's coming back, church. He's coming back, amen. Don't get too comfortable on earth. He's coming back. Amen. Praise God. He's coming back. Amen. And then thirdly, there is an attack on the sonship of Jesus Christ. Because these men who crept in not only had turned the grace of God into a license, but also they denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is more than a prophet, more than a good man. He is very God of very God, amen. He is God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh. Amen. Jesus has come as God down from heaven, leaving the bosom, the perfection of the Father of heaven itself, to come into a corrupt fallen world to show us the way of eternal life. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And in this age of pluralism, listen to me and listen to me well, we accept that all people have a right to worship any God they want, but all gods are not equal and all religions do not lead to heaven. There is only one name. There is only one way. There is only one mediator. It's Jesus. He did not come to show us a way. He is the way. He did not come to show us a light. He is the light. He is the gate. He is the only way. Christ is unique. Unique to all who went before him and all who came after him. There is only one person who has conquered death, and that is Jesus. And when you look through the Gospels, we see the divinity of Jesus Christ. We sound an alarm today. We sound it well here at church. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Son of God. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. And we lift them up today. Amen. We lift them up in this pulpit. We lift them up in our lives. We lift him up because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. He is unique. Unique. Not only because of his entrance into this life and his public ministry, but because of the extraordinary conclusion of his life. He was not just an example of righteousness. He was the sacrifice that allowed mankind to obtain righteousness. Do you know him? I asked, do you know him? Do you know him? You may know about him. You might have read much about Jesus, but do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him who's conquered your sin, who's conquered death that you might live? Do you know him? Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Christian, do you know that power in your life? Amen. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. The Lord loves you. He wants to call you into this relationship of love. Amen. He wants you to be kept that you might know God. I pray that you will know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. I'm going to pray in a moment. It's a prayer, first of all. In fact, I'm going to make two prayers today, two declarations. One is for those of you who may not know Christ. And I'm giving you an opportunity to come to faith. I'm giving you an opportunity to embrace the Christ, the living God. And the second prayer is for us believers that we contend for the faith. Amen. And if you are not a believer today, you can pray this prayer, just you before God, and allow God to enter your life and your heart to change you. Amen. To bring you into a place of peace and joy that you might have purpose in life. Father, I come to you today in Jesus' name. And today I acknowledge my sin, my failure before you. And today I come in repentance. Today, I receive Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I ask today that you move in my life. Today, as I give my life to you, I pray that you direct my steps. Today, might I know peace and joy in believing. Today, I commit my way to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's remain in the attitude of prayer, church. If you've prayed that prayer, please tell someone. Maybe someone who's brought you. Maybe you've come here by yourself. Come and see one of the pastors or elders. Tell someone. We'd love to give you some literature to get you established on your journey of faith that you will know God. You will know God. And pray now for believers that we be strengthened, that we stand up for truth. Amen. God, I pray for your church. Your church here, not in Barclay Avenue, but your church in Reading. I pray your church in this nation, that we will not compromise the gospel, that we will not compromise the truth, but we will contend for the faith. Amen. I pray, O God, that we will be strong. I pray, O God, that we will not be arrogant, but the love of God will be in us. And we will connect with our culture because the presence of Christ in us will draw people to us in a positive way. And God, I pray that we will be salt and we will be light. I pray that our lives will be changed. And so, God, I pray, fill us with your Spirit. I pray that we will embrace the grace of God, not as a license, but as a power to give us life, to allow us to live the way you want us to live. And Lord, if we have failed you in the past, we come to a place of repentance. We come to a place of faith. And we pray, O God, direct our steps, amen. Direct our steps as we acknowledge you as our God and as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we give you thanks today that you are our God. We thank you, O God, that you love us with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name, amen.